It's been wonderful just to experience this time of just being a little bit simpler, more laid back tonight. We kind of wanted to do this just to kind of encourage our families, and you know, this is what they traditionally call the Advent season. And when you think about many families do Advent worship on a weekly basis through the whole season, and that would be something perhaps your family, there's some good devotional guides that you could use to enhance that and help you do that. The word Advent not only speaks of the incarnation and the arrival of Jesus Christ and the celebration of the arrival, but it also speaks of the anticipation that the Christ of Jesus is coming again. And so we look with great anticipation, and this year at Christmas, we pray that even these few little moments that we spend together tonight, and I'm going to share just a little thought here from as one of the scriptures that Ben read to us just a minute ago to encourage us, just to make sure that we're focused and we're fresh so that we can be all that God is calling us to be, not only for our own families, but for so many people around us. This is the last week of Christmas. And Christmas presents so many opportunities for us to share the message of the gospel at a time when some people may be more open than at other times in their life. And as Ben shared from Isaiah, we certainly have seen the light, and the light has begun to shine and has been shining. And if you're here tonight, it's been shining in your life to some capacity, or you wouldn't be here, because we live in a dark, dark world. But as we think about these thoughts tonight, and I think about this, you know, I was thinking about, I know that there are many things about the Christmas season that I'm sure we all enjoy. I mean, we have those extra events, holiday parties, and the extra food, the goodies that we like to partake of, and just those special times with family and friends. And we think about the decorations. That's always a part of our Christmas celebrations. And there's no aspect of the decorations that is more universal than light. And I got to thinking about that, Christmas lights. Everywhere you go, you see Christmas lights. People put them on their houses. I mean, how weird is that? I mean, we do it. People put them on their yards. We put them inside our houses. We put them on our trees. Even real extreme people put them on the outside of their automobiles and their cars, and you can see that. And it's because this season and this celebration is unlike any other celebration. And I'm sure there's some in our world who just do this just for the holiday spirit and don't even really understand the significance of light. Some feel like, as the history has been looked at, that it was the great reformer Martin Luther who placed the first candle on the first Christmas tree and started that tradition, because he knew the significance of light. And we should be reminded about the significance of light. And so tonight, as I reflect upon the passage that Ben read earlier from John's Gospel, chapter 8, where Jesus just said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Very simple passage. First of all, as Jesus came and he even revealed that, others were beginning to sense that and see it. Some of his disciples, especially. John would write about it years later, and we love John's gospel. Ben read that passage for us too, that in him was light, and the light was the life of man, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And so those disciples, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were able to really see, as God would lead them to share all that they had experienced with Jesus Christ, and Jesus himself proclaiming here in this passage. If you look on down in John 8, you see that it was in the temple setting that he proclaimed this. And in the temple, they had these great candles that would burn and would give light. And they say it was during the time that those candles would have been lit that Jesus looked at the candles and said, "I am the light of the world." And as I thought about that, and even this week, as I challenge myself, and I want to continue to challenge myself and hopefully encourage you in your home environment, as Ben said, as we encourage you in these type informal services to just take some of the thoughts that we share with you and duplicate those in your own life, in your own family. We see that God is a God who gives light, and there's been no greater light ever given to mankind than the gift of God Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest revelation mankind has ever had. Now, our God is a great God, and He's given us light, and light is a theme that flows from Old Testament all the way to the end of the New Testament. You don't have to look far. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, what? Let there be light. And so He created light on the first act of creation. He even gave us, because He knew we lived in darkness, He even gave us the sun to govern our days as the source of light. And God, He beat all of us to it. He gave us the first night light ever. It's called the moon. And it's huge. Because God even wanted us to have a light when we walk through darkness. And that's what kind of God He is. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we're told that there will be no need of a light in that heavenly city because Christ Himself is going to shine and just radiate, and He's going to be the light. And we're going to all see Him for who He really is. John got a little glimpse of Him in chapter 1 of Revelation when he saw Him in His Shekinah glory as He had ascended back to heaven and He was there in His glorified state. And John's reaction, the last living disciple, I was so blown away by it, John said, that I fell at His feet like a dead man. And so as we enter into the subject of understanding that Jesus is the light of the world, I just would challenge you tonight just to see the light. Look with great intensity to the light of life, Jesus Christ, and make sure that you're looking with a focused glance and not just a casual glare, and that you would look intently into the face of Jesus Christ. Once again, God gives us so many opportunities to see Jesus, and He has revealed so much light to us. We know that even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, one of the greatest sources of light we have today is the Word of God. The Word of God is the light, the living Word of God. And so God gives us light. And it's funny, this thing that we call light, because what is the purpose of light? It's to illuminate. It's to help us find our way. And that's what Jesus does. He helps us find our way. In fact, we cannot find our way because He is the way. If we don't find Jesus, we're lost. And we're of all men most miserable if we don't find the light. But we're living in a dark world, and Jesus still is the light of the world. And we need to be reminded of that, and we need to see that. So I would ask you tonight, what is it that's keeping you from really drawing close and seeing the light? Is it your busy schedule? Then maybe you just need to slow down. I remember Chuck Swindoll. I've always been a big fan of what I call bumper sticker theology. He talked about once he saw this bumper sticker that just said, "I break for Christmas." Some great thoughts. We all need to slow down a little bit. We live in a fast-paced world. Sometimes we describe it as a rat race, but it really doesn't have to be. As it's been observed, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll settle just to make you busy. And it's a great distraction. So take some time this week and this Christmas season to see the light and to be reminded that He's the light. You might have to lean in closely, intently, even the way I'm sure those shepherds did when they came to that manger scene. Or those wise men when they came later to see Jesus. And they all made that a priority when they had received the revelation. And we've received so much light. And so the question is, are you living up to the light that God has blessed you with? Are you ignoring it? Now you think about this as we drive. One of the things we like to do when we celebrate Christmas in our neighborhoods, we like to drive through and look at all the Christmas lights. I talked to someone here earlier tonight. They said they'd driven out of town to look at a light display in another town. And I said, why'd you go that far? No, I'm just teasing. But you know, we do that. But I've also noticed some days when I come home, if I've been busy, I'll drive through a neighborhood and there's lights everywhere. And you know what I do? I'm just totally oblivious to them. I just ignore them. I'm just trying to get home. So sometimes in our lives, I think that we allow the things of this world to keep us from really focusing on the light that God has given us and living up to that light. You know, when those wise men, they saw that star and that brought them to there to Bethlehem, brought them to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem to seek after that newborn king that had been born. You know what brought them the whole way? They kept their focus on the light. They lived up to the light that they had. And here's a spiritual principle that we have to always remember. Light obeyed increases light. The more you obey the light, the more light God will give you. The more you ignore the light, the more darkness will overtake your life. We can come to a church service and we can be exposed to great amounts of light. But if we don't live up to it in our hearts and truly seek God in a worshipful way, the way God wants us to, we'll leave here in a darker state than we came in. Because that light would have fallen on deaf ears, so to speak. And so we have to purposely, intently focus and rid ourselves of the things that would distract us and know that God has given us a great opportunity to see the light. And in this verse, he goes on to say, not only is he the light of the world, which is the greatest thought in the passage itself, but he doesn't end there. He has this next sentence, and it's so wonderful. He says, whoever follows me. That is the greatest two-word description of the Christian life in all of God's Word, a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you following Jesus? If you're following Jesus, then not only do you need to see the light, but he challenges us here to be the light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what are you doing in that dark place? If you're truly following Jesus Christ, because light dispels the darkness, and the closer you are to Jesus, the less darkness that's in your life. What does darkness look like? Well, it looks like discouragement and depression, and it looks like anger, and it looks like fear. And it looks like all of these things that just the devil tries to just manipulate our lives with. So what are you going to do to dispel those things? You're going to go back to the light and you're going to fall deeply in love with the light. Because whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but in him will be the light of life. And so Jesus said it so plainly and so simply and emphatically. When he simply said, you are the light of the world. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid. So let me ask you this year at Christmas, as we think about Jesus being the light of the world, and now he's called me to live up to the light that he's given me, and that I will have the light of life living in me, what kind of light am I radiating to those around me? And what can I do, even this week, to be a greater light-giving source for the glory of God and the good of my fellow man? It may be a card. It may be a visit. We've seen many things going on even through our church in recent days. It may be a service, or it may be some lonely neighbor or some hurting friend at work or co-worker that God's going to impress upon you to go out of your way and be very intentional to do some random act of kindness, if you want to call it that. It's not random at all. It's very purposeful if you're God's ambassador and you're sharing the light that God has given you and you're living up to the light that God has called you to, then you go and you be the light. But you cannot really be the light until you see the light. And I think about Moses. I'll never forget, and I know that's one of our favorite Old Testament stories, when he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he asked God, he said, God, he said, I want to see you. And God said, Moses, he said, if you really fully see me, you'll die. And so God hit him in the cleft of the rock. And he passed by, and he just let him see just an aspect of his glory. And we're told when Moses came down off of that mountain, his face was just glowing. So much so, the children of Israel got scared. And they said, Moses, cover your face. This is heavy. I wonder how long it's been since our lives have just been so intently in communion with Christ that our lives have just glowed. And the glow of Jesus was just all over us. Because we've seen the light, now we can be the light. It's pretty simple. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but in him will be the light of life. I pray that that'll be in your hearts as we enter into this last week of Christmas. We're going to have so many opportunities to not only see the light, but to be the light. And God's given us a wonderful opportunity even here tonight to see some light. Amen? As we've heard the songs, as we've offered prayers, heard scripture readings, and all of these things you can do in your home and in your life. Turn it on, turn on your radio to Christian music and worship God this week and go into your workplace and your family this week and be the light that God has called you to. Let's stand together. I'm going to dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. We thank you for coming. We hope that this service has encouraged you. Miss Marlowe has told me that you can take home your poinsettia tonight if you want to, especially if you're not going to be here for communion Wednesday night. I guess some can be picked up then as well. And so I know some of these were purchased in memory or in honor of someone, and those names were listed in today's bulletin. So just be kind. Remember, be light. Don't be fighting over them, okay? And pick up your poinsettia. And some of you may have someone special you can give that poinsettia to. And that'll be a special light-giving opportunity also. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for bringing us together for this very just simple time of worship, Lord, but yet profound because it's been in your presence. And Lord, may our hearts truly be in tune with you. May you draw us closer to you, Father. I thank you for our church family. We thank you for the opportunity you give us here in this community to be light and to let our light shine. Lord, we would pray even tomorrow for our food pantry ministry, that you would bless that ministry, Lord, that our lights would shine brightly again. We would share your love and your life to others. Thank you for each one of our church families, Lord. And I pray that as we leave here tonight, our hearts will be just excited about you and focused. We thank you for each song that's been offered. We thank you for each scripture that's been reflected upon. And may you truly be the light of our lives this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.